Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the Unapologetic Vixen Podcast, Owning Pleasure as a Black Woman. And today, I've got a really good show for you. I've got some really amazing guests coming for the rest of this self-love series. However, before I introduce today's guests, I got a sponsor, y'all. I'm doing things, right? I'm doing things. We're doing things with the podcast. So today's show is sponsored by Organic Lovin', the only adult subscription box to include eco-friendly body products, body-safe adult toys. Yes, I said adult toys. And sex-positive books. This is not just for partner play. You can get some amazing massage oils to add to your shower routine. So if you're like, Natasha, I don't need no toys. I'm not interested in that. Then let's add some massage oils to the self-love routine for this month. I love to use the Intimate Earth Massage Oil and Vanilla Chai with my shea butter because I'm a vanilla chick. I absolutely love the soft smell of vanilla. And I use the oil with shea butter on my skin while it's still moist when I step out of the shower. It makes my skin feel so supple, soft, and moisturized. Especially in this bipolar Georgia weather. Some days it's super cold. It's been raining the last couple weeks, but it's part of my routine when I get out of the shower, and I love on my body with some of this massage oil. So head over to www.organiclovin.com, which is going to be in the show notes, and use the code Chentelle10, Chentille 10, for 10% off of your purchase. So I'm so proud of myself, y'all. Look, I got a sponsor. anyway, today's guest is, oh, excuse me, y'all. Today, my guest is Racine Ricard. She is a financial planner and strategist who helps her clients become adequately protected, debt-free, and financially independent. And today, we're going to chat about how finances play a big part in our self-love. And there's something that I always tell y'all, when we focus on ourselves, the money comes. So I need you to listen in on what she says about that. I hope you enjoy today's episode. So Racine, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for coming. I'm excited to have you for our self-love series.
Yes, yes, and yes.
So I'm going to start off by asking you, what does self-love mean to you as a Black woman?
Wow, that's going to be a mouthful.
Well, come on with it.
Sometimes we tend to be thinking about what we do for others, you mm-hmm. know, because I'm an empath, so I'm always thinking about others before I think of myself. So mm-hmm. overall, just really enjoying the me that I see in the mirror, for one, mm-hmm. you know, and making sure I have time for me and refill, you know, my cup and my life.
Yes, yes.
Because a lot of time, this is only revelation in the last 2 years, okay? So if you would have asked me this 2 years ago, it would have been quite a different, you know, response. Mm-hmm. I'm learning to really just relight or just replenish my light, because a lot of it I can't help pour into others, which is what I normally am doing. So, mm-hmm. but I'm really taking time so that I can figure out other things that I enjoy, you know, and a lot of times I don't like to go out by myself to eat because I love to eat. That just brings me
immense joy.
but I don't like eating by myself. So
really?
I do not like eating by myself. So now I am learning to eat by myself with the idea that even though I may not have somebody sitting at a table with me, I have got the other people around me, because mm-hmm. I'm a people watcher too, mm-hmm. you know, and that kind of thing. So and a lot of times that's energy that ignites me, you know, hopefully it's a good energy around me, but yeah.
Right, right. That's funny because I love going somewhere by myself. I think I thrive, and that might because, you know, I got them kids, and so I'd be trying to hide out. So it's different when I come home to a whole bunch of ruckus compared to coming home to like a quiet home where you do get to spend mm-hmm. the majority mm-hmm. of your time by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my husband and I, we kind of not fight over the TV, but I'm a movie buff. So now, as my release after my glass of wine, you know, I'm a wine person now. So I've been trying out different wines, something I hadn't done before. So this last year, I've been going to different wineries, you know.
That's
nice. So I come home with my new bottle, and I'll watch TVs, Netflix, and I'm just binge watching. And that really, you know, helps me get my, you know, stasis, you know, appointments all day. So it just brings me peace, you know, in that, right? Because I don't have too many vices, not too many.
Okay. That's it. So what do you do, and how do you contribute self-love for Black women in the work that you do?
Let them know that, hey, what they see in the mirror, part of a conversation we were having earlier, a lot of times I said, make sure you see yourself in the mirror, that person negative, if that is, there's so much more to it than what that visible layer shows, for one. Mm-hmm. And then I want them to really understand, because, you know, with me being a consultant financial, you know, a lot of people put themselves, the money as their persona is based on how much money they make.
Absolutely.
You know, or their persona is based on how much they got in their bank account. Mm-hmm. And I try to tell him that's, or tell them that's really short lived, you know, and everything. We need it like the air we breathe, but that doesn't make you. You know, so the women that I'm sitting with, a lot of times I've got to not remake them, but I have to show them a better side. And I don't sit there and be faking, you know, that I'm positive all the time. You know, I accept that there's going to be some issues they're having and they're not having a good day. And I'm not going to sit here and be kumbaya. No, you know, but I meet them where they are. And then, because I got to build them up so that I can show them that there's something even greater that's on the other side of where they are. Some women who come to me, they're so excited and happy, and I want to maintain it, but I want to make sure that those happy moments aren't superficial, you know?
That right there, which is, I'm glad you brought that up, because I know a lot of times when we think of self-care and self-love, a lot of times I ran a challenge a couple weeks ago, and one of the things was I don't have enough money. So does money really have a huge, like with you being a financial planner and talking to people, does money play a huge role in what you see in your clients as far as how they function within themselves?
I say it's about 60%, and I'm gonna say it's cultural, and let me explain what I mean. Typically, sometimes when I'm talking, because a big part of my clientele are African American, especially women of color. Okay, so and when we get things, we have peer pressure. Okay.
Yeah.
We have, I want to do what the Joneses are doing. And unfortunately, I got to compete with that. So I do think 60% of it is money. But I think the, a greater other percentage of that is socialization, you know. And yeah, culture is part of it. Because, you know, that's all some cultures really talk about. In our culture, we equate success, you know, with the bigger things, the money, you know, all of that.
Oh, she's calling me out, y'all.
But, you know, and unfortunately, that's how we compare, you know. And even sometimes when we compete based on how much money or how much things, you know, and although that could be great to a degree, I think that I've known some people who are millionaires right now, and they're not happy. Because they may have the love of their life no longer here, you know? So all that money doesn't mean anything, because you don't have somebody to share it with, one. Or health, you know, you can have, be a multimillionaire and you have no health. You can't enjoy, because you can't pay, technically you can't pay to have 100% health. You can pay to sustain and make you better and have access to greater healthcare, that kind of thing. But if you've had bad habits that have started. And, you know, even in our household, I'm speaking for me, you know, I remember eating mac and cheese like it was the four vegetable meat. Kind of USDA grade menu of food, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, not having milk or whatever, but we ate bad when we were kids. Mm-hmm. So, and then, you know, we're in our culture specifically, you know, there's heart disease, there's diabetes, there's so many underlying health challenges. Yeah, money will make it better, mm-hmm. but I do find that we equate money. That it's the end of all things, and it's not.
Absolutely. That is absolutely the truth. I spent 2022 doing a lot of reflecting on equating success to my bank account, because without the money in my account, I felt like a failure, right? And so it was always like, I gotta do more. And in doing more, nurturing that connection with myself was on the back burner because there was that survival mode. Like, I got to do this, I got to do that. And so I know a lot of my listeners are like, they're check boxers. So we go through life, you need to do this and make money. You need to do this to make money. You need to do this to make money. And so then you go through and you graduate high school and you go to college and you get your master's and you get the job. And the money may be like, okay, this is decent, quote unquote, but like, this sucks. This life sucks. It's not given what it's supposed to give. And why am I not happy? And I've done all the things. I'm living the life that this money is, everyone said this money was going to give to me. So what is your advice for those that are in that position where it's like, I did it. Y'all lied to me. I did the things and I still don't feel it on the inside.
While you were talking, I was thinking, if some of us haven't, or some of your listeners haven't seen Best Man, the new one yet.
And, I have not seen it.
Okay. And Sanaa Lathan was telling Taye Diggs' characters, mm-hmm. hey, you know, part of our relationship that's going downward is because you're always shooting for that next thing. Yeah. It's always that next thing. Mm-hmm. So Racine, you know, looking in at both of them, I'm saying, wow, they got everything going from them. He's a successful playwright and author, and she's a successful caterer and everything. So their love talk to each other and what they think is important. Yeah, money was important, but for Sanaa's character, it was being societal to, you know, working culturally in her community and giving of herself. That was her idea of success. Yeah, you needed money to do all those things, but she was community. Whereas Kim mm-hmm. was, hey, I gotta prepare for my family. I need to go do the next play. I need to go write the next book. This is not what I want. This is the big house we need because, hey, we need to move up. We don't need to stay in our old community. So it was always so. It caused a rift in their relationship because she said, you are always chasing the next thing. So going to what you just said, you know, we go through knowing where our humble beginnings are. We've always been taught, hey, to reach for that next thing. Mm-hmm. It's the satisfaction of what are we getting when we get to that next thing? Are we doing partly that next thing because people expect that of us? Or when we get there, is it really for all of us and not just for other people? Because you got the degrees and everything, and now you are consulting, and you know you enjoy what you're doing and the people you connect with, you know. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I tell people, hey, your job and what you're doing, it may not be equated with 100,000 or 200,000, it's the joy that person or that problem you solved, okay? Mm-hmm. Which is really, for them, worth a million, but
right.
A million may not be necessarily in the account. So sometimes they don't equate. Even sitting with the clients, and, you know, I may sit with them and go over some financial concept that will change their lives. You know, it may not equate right now, mm-hmm. into a large amount of money. So it's easy to get into the imposter syndrome because I compare myself to other people in my industry, that was 2020. Okay, just be real. And I was saying, you know, I am my individual. I had to really, really, really become more introspective. And I had to say, look, that person is great at what they do. They have their own individuality. I had to figure out what's mine, you know? And oddly enough, when I found out what's mine, my income did grow from where I was.
Right, see, it's almost like you're kind of like reading my mind, and it's a little weird. It's a little weird right now, because that's what I was getting ready to say. Like, when you work long-term with clients, do you notice when they have, because you have to build a relationship with them, because if you all in my money, that's almost like you all in my bedroom, okay? And so that means we best friends. We here. So you get to see the transformation. So when you see them become, for instance, more into themselves and like less stressed and just like loving themselves more. I know people think I'm crazy when I say, when you love on yourself more, the money comes in more. But do you, the professional, the financial planner, agree with that and see that?
I'm speaking for Racine. I can tell you that when Racine grew and loved what she did and how she presented herself to the world, Racine didn't give a flying fit. I didn't care like I did before about how everybody else was doing it. I'm not doing it to get the same results that they see. They should be, how do they get those results? I didn't get that. I want to be like them. I need to go put my more makeup on. I need to go and dress better. I need to go. So you end up getting caught up in somebody else's story instead of creating your own story, you know, and putting your own chapters together. So I had to put chapter 2020 in place and chapter 20. I couldn't do chapter 2021 until I did chapter 2020. So now chapter 2022, I'm like, wow, yeah, I'm going and doing the things that make Racine and that Racine enjoyed doing, and Racine knew worked for her, and even found out some new things that worked for me, you know, and everything. And even when we were talking earlier and putting some things up for the next couple of months, you know, I'm really going back to the things that I enjoy doing, you know, workshops, seminars, because I was presenting my authentic self. And so today, you know, before, you know, this podcast, I was doing a workshop, and the women, and just seeing them more relieved. I mean, some of them had taken the shoes off, you know, some of them were eating and put the food to the side, you know, and some of them had turned their, you know, some people write and some people record. Some women were taking out their cameras and recording, you know, the phones to record. And they was like, okay, go back to that, what you just said.
Oh, they were engaged.
They were very engaged. So for me, that says, Racine, you know everything you need to know. You ain't got to go add a whole bunch of more stuff, because what you know more than half of the other people that are maybe a millionaire by now. You're no different. God gives you time, gives you your timing, so that when you are get there, you're on time. You know, so yeah, so there is that imposter syndrome. And I found that if they don't equate where you are money-wise, you know, yeah, just money is energy. It really is. And it flows. If you're thinking that it's never gonna come to you, you're right, it's never going to come to you, you know. And I know I may be on a tangent, but my husband and I, we were talking about the spirit of lack and
scarcity mindset.
And so I caught myself, you know how when you're finishing up the last of the body wash thing,
add water.
I was like, and I turned the thing upside down. I said, I know it's some more in here, right?
Go buy some more.
Instead of I'm like, man, gum is only probably less than a teaspoon in there left. Really, no, Racine? And I had to catch myself. I was like, oh my God, I have a whole, container of bath and body wash down in the closet. Why am I trying to scrape the last teaspoon of this body wash? So I had to catch myself, Racine. I'm not a big spender, mm-hmm. you know, I enjoy experiences. Mm-hmm. So I was telling Harris, like, dadgum, I was, you know, possessed over some bath wash, you mm-hmm. know, body wash. It didn't make any sense. And I was reusing something, you know, in the kitchen. I was mm-hmm. like, why am I reusing a styrofoam cup? Hey, really, Racine? So, you know, yeah, I had enough to go and, you know, wash the dishes or whatever, or I had enough other cups that I could have used, styrofoam cups, just throw it away, be done. Mm-hmm. But it was just in case this is the last cup, just mm-hmm. in case I don't mm-hmm. have enough bath wash. And it was just that lingering things, mm-hmm. you know. And I have to catch myself, even though that's what I teach other people. I have to catch myself because mm-hmm. it rears its ugly head, you know. And you can have $15,000, $15 million in the bank, and you still would do that.
Yeah, if that's what you know, if that's what you're used to.
But you have to be mindful of it. Mm-hmm. That's the other part of what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Be mindful of that mindset and the attitude, you know. Because if you keep doing it, it kind of festers back in and bubbles up over something called the crazy that you got to save everything. You need to become a hoarder. You know, it manifests in so many other little things you do. Mm-hmm.
So we kind of talked about those that have checked the boxes and have the money. What about those that really just don't? Like, they don't have the capacity. They're in that survival mindset of, like, I really don't have the time to pour into myself. I can't fill my cup because the bills mm-hmm. do need to be paid. I don't have the luxury of not worrying about money in my account. That's a real problem. Mm-hmm. How do they go about, I mean, because life is life, you know, but how do they go about pouring into themselves while they're in that survival mode?
Mm. Part of me wants to say, it's not that I can't help them. There is not an answer. Mm-hmm. Meaning sometimes, yeah, I have to meet them where they are. And I have to ask them, what is it that you really enjoy? What is it that lights your, the smallest thing that lights your fire? Because there's something mm-hmm. they're still here amongst us. So there's something that got them to wake them up every morning. So. Right. I really have to ask what wakes them up every morning. I was talking to someone who is just what you're saying. They don't check the box because they feel where they are. You know, there's no options, you know. And I had to ask them, I had to find something that I saw in them that I could encourage them, okay? Mm-hmm. It's only so much I can do. And so I asked them, I was like, when I first saw your face, I saw a glow and your hair was, you combed your hair, you know, you had makeup on. I said, do that. Make yourself look good. If you have to go get your hair done at least, you know, once or every 2 weeks or something, mm-hmm. that's a good start. Mm-hmm. You know, do that for yourself. You can spend $30 on yourself to go get your hair. If you have to go to a beauty school to get it done.
Hello. Yeah.
Okay. That's probably $10-$15 right there for they'd be happy to do your hair and you just sit there and let them, you know, mm-hmm. take care of you. You know, go to the grocery store and you can go to Walmart or go to Aldi's and, you know, shop and get a full meal for the whole. I go to the farmer's market mm-hmm. and I literally can go to the farmer's market and buy enough food for 2 weeks, you know. Mm-hmm. There's little things. So I try to meet them where they are. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm answering your question because there's so many thoughts going on in my head, but sometimes those individuals feel like they're in despair, and I want to make sure that that's not where they are. Mm-hmm. Or if that's what they are, I gotta build them up, and that can take some energy to do. You know, but I have to find out what lights them up in the smallest way. You know.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, because in both scenarios, there is a feeling like I cannot ask for help. You have the ones in survival mode that are used to grinding it out and hustling, and I'll figure it out myself. And then you have those that have checked all the boxes, and it's like, you know, I shouldn't have to ask for help. I should have this figured out. So how is it a labor of love to reach out to you as the financial planner to help them make plans, tell their money where to go, figure it out to make life a little easier, or to even be reflective of there's so much more that I can be doing and it has nothing to do with money?
Gotcha. 80% of the people who are in my industry, I'm gonna say 80, it might even be 90, have come from where most of the people we talk to come from. Mm-hmm. We came because we were clients and we had challenges ourselves. Just made the step to move it to the next level, and we're still becoming. Okay, we're not fully where we want to be, but we're becoming because we are acting on it.
Right. Okay?
So when I sit down with individuals, I always give them a great foundation, because even I felt intimidated when I first talked to a financial advisor because I was in debt really badly. So when I decided to ask someone for help, I had to realize that I can't be, you know, feeling inferior for asking. Mm-hmm. And it's not a dumb question. Me asking is not a reflection on me as a person, you know.
Right, you're not a failure.
Not a failure, you know. It to me, it's like when you go to the doctor, when you get sick because you got a sore throat or whatever, do you not go to the doctor and ask for help? You know, did you feel inferior for going to the doctor to ask for him to give you some antibiotics or cold medicine? It, to me, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. You can sit there and try to medicate yourself, even that more than likely ain't gonna necessarily be the best thing. Mm-hmm. But you ask for help is you going to the next level to me.
Mm-hmm.
It really is going to the next level. It's you saying there's another version of me and the environment that I want to have for my family by asking somebody who I was always big. I got to talk to people who know more than me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even sometimes, Tasha, when I'm talking to you, I may feel uncomfortable asking you something.
Really? That's so interesting that you say that, because as you're talking about being open and all the things that we shouldn't do, what the work that we do is the most intimate side of people where there is a lot of shame and a lot of embarrassment and a lot of guilt between exactly. pleasure and intimacy and money and intimacy. It's like, oh, you want me to talk about what? And immediately the anxiety shoots through the roof and they're intimidated, because I feel that way when I'm talking to you about my money.
I think what it is, all the thoughts that we think you're thinking in your head about us, you ain't even thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't judging you or nothing. I'm just really listening. What really? Oh, wow. If I'm thinking about anything, it's like, oh, I got this answer for her. I got this answer for her.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not thinking about, child, she might be crazy. She might be lonely. I'm not even thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's those thoughts that you're putting in your head about what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. That's the first issue. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think if I stop doing that and I can get them to stop doing it, I think that will kill half the battle of the progression that we want for our clients respectively. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
But I know I wasn't the smartest person in the room, you know, but at least I want to find out what they know, because if I need it for later, at least I have it. You know?
Right. You know?
So that's always been a mantra for me. If I can find out half of the stuff y'all know, or you know, that might be useful for me in the future, tell me, I'm gonna ask a whole lot of questions, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, and the reverse of that, when I go to events and I find a speaker or somebody who said, don't ask that question, or just responding to the in a funky way to answer something, I really think that that person is not the ideal person to help me or to teach me, mm-hmm. because that's not patience. That's arrogance, mm-hmm. you know, and that's their relationship to the audience is superficial to me. So, because part of service is being able to give people education and information so they can move past where they are, mm-hmm. in whatever form or fashion that might be.
Absolutely. Or they may just not know the answer.
Well, say that. Okay. I'm sorry. That threw off wrong. I'm big. If I don't know the answer, I will tell you, I don't know the answer. I'm not going to sit here and pontificate for hours on end.
Come on, pontificate.
I will tell you, you know what? I don't know. Give me 48 or 72 hours. Mm-hmm. And I am doggedly going to find out, because I'm thinking to myself, that's a good question.
Somebody else probably needs that answer. Yeah. This was really good. I enjoyed this conversation. I think it's an important conversation. I think we have to continue to be more open about money, and not only our relationship with money, but how the relationship with money affects our relationship with ourselves. Because if it's not looking how we want it to look, you know, going back to the how does my success and my value and my worth line up to what's in my bank account, then we're going in the wrong direction. And we have to be able to separate the two of those and just love ourselves from where we are and separate ourselves. I know it's hard to do that because it's just like a generational thing about really being focused on the money. Uh-huh. But once you separate yourself from the money and really focus on what you want to do and what you enjoy in this life, the money does its own thing. It does what it, you know, it comes to you effortlessly. Now I'm going to tell y'all, it's not flowing to me effortlessly yet, but
it's circulating,
you know, it has to catch up to where I am. With accepting that the residue has to fall out from when I was chasing it. Uh-huh. And now I'm at a place in my life where it's like, I just want, and being honest, half of the stuff that I thought I wanted, or how much money I thought I needed to be okay, I don't need that. That would just cause more stress for me, I think, to even have that. And that's what I gained in learning, separating my success from money. Mm-hmm. What you want to be a millionaire for, Natasha? Because everybody else said they're doing that. What you going to do with $1 million? Because what you actually really want to do doesn't require that.
Right. That's so poignant, or right on point what you're saying, because I remember what I was doing when I was making $25,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And growing that to $50,000, I thought, oh man, I'm in poverty, because I had friends who were doing just that, but my lifestyle didn't change, mm-hmm. oddly enough. Mm-hmm. And going back to something I think is even answering what you had said or asked earlier, is that the money just allowed me to be quiet and not worry, mm-hmm. and not stress. I had options.
That's different. I could
choose to go to a restaurant. Go to McDonald's, if not both. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have to rush to go figure out something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember going to the Buy Here, Pay Here car lot and beat my payment there before they decided to come look for me to get my car. I've been there, you know, but now I don't have a car note. You get me? And mm-hmm. that's because I did have the money to start paying off my car early. Mm-hmm. Those were options that it allowed me to do. So now I still have peace of mind. You know, I just think when you get it, whether you got 25 or 50, if we learn what to do with it, mm-hmm. I love myself even more as the money comes, in the sense that now I can be freer to be who I am. It really is. I really think that that's part of it. I'm really saying, Racine, you are really, stress is no longer that hard. You know, you got other stressors, mm-hmm. but worrying about money is not necessarily one of them because everything is paid. Okay. Or half of the stuff is paid. You know, mm-hmm. I ain't got to go and work a whole extra day just to bring in $1,000. You know, I can choose to sit at home and watch Netflix instead. You know,
yeah.
You got better choices. Mm-hmm. Is that how I want to say it?
And that, folks, is what you call thriving. That is thriving, and it is possible.
It's so possible. Oh my God, it's so possible. We all got imposter syndrome.
Yes.
Because I know some people who make $25,000, you know, wish they made $50,000. Some mm-hmm. people who make $50,000 wish they made $100,000. I got some people who make $500,000 that wish they made.
I'm always reaching for that next best thing instead of appreciating and loving the moment that you're in, which, you know, I'm definitely going to talk about later about being okay and having gratitude with who we are right now in this moment with the things that we have. Mm-hmm. Because once that's gone, like once you are going from that like 50,000 to that 100,000, you're never her again. Like you're never that person again. And now you're mm-hmm. someone new. And it's almost like I have to release her to be mm-hmm. this, because you have to have a different mindset at that point. And that's, I don't know why for me, other people may be like, what? But that's sad to me to release that version of me. Every time I transition, I recognize that there's a part of me I'm never going to be again. And for me, that realization is a little sad.
Do you look at it as that person was, do you look at it as the progression is that you are a better version of that old person?
Or Yeah, but you know, in order to level up, like for instance, you know that the person that makes $250,000 a year, you can't operate the same way if you're a millionaire. Like it's just you can't. There's certain ways you have to move differently. There's just different things that you have to do. But if you're trying to operate in that same mentality as that same person, that can block you from certain things, you know, or if you're trying to reach that goal, what got you there is not going to get you there. But then you get comfortable, you know, for instance, if you get to a place where it's like, gosh, I love myself so much, I've done the work. And then someone like you comes and says, oh, baby, I need you to stretch. But I just got comfortable with her. What do you mean I have to stretch some more? I don't know what that looks like. So there is that grief of I've gotten so equated with, you know, you know what I'm trying to say. I've done that. I've done the work. And you want me to have to go through this cycle again and figure it out all over again. And I think sometimes there is this exhaustion or this like the lack of wanting to be responsible and accountable for leveling up. Because one, we've never seen what it looks like, because some of the money that we're making, our families have never made it. So we don't know how to act. We can't interact with the same friends. We can't be in the same environments. And it's like, there's so much of me that I have to release to go to this next level. And yeah, I know this is a whole nother different conversation, but that's sad. And I think sometimes it's like, I don't want to release, which leaves you in a space of stagnation, which makes you angry. And that's not a form of self-love. That's to me, a form of self-sabotage.
Right. That is a conundrum. And I get what you're saying too. And even while you were talking, I was thinking during that time from the releasing the old and going to the next, mm-hmm. even I've been through what you're saying, and I was thinking, dang, I don't even have time to celebrate where I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that even from 25 to 50,000, it was a different mindset. And I didn't take the time to celebrate, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. I felt the conundrum because oddly enough, it was a change in, you know, where I lived and the mm-hmm. friends, you know, because now the same things I liked, they didn't like or whatever. But I think the next transition, I think between the grieving of the old self and trepidation for the new self next level, I think sometimes we got to stop and enjoy where we are at that moment.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
That's what I think my answer is going to be, because I know that conundrum. I know what you're saying. So I think I'm not celebrate too long, because you
because you get stuck.
Yeah, you get stuck. But celebrating where you are, because that's an accomplishment, mm-hmm. and realizing that that accomplishment needs to be acknowledged, you know, and don't look at it as grief. You just gravitate it.
Oh, I like that.
It really is gravitating. And because we can't be the same, you know, we can't, and no matter what in life, we can't. And I know that that sounds hokey, you know, and
it's true.
But even now I feel, you know, that I'm a more loving person. I'm more open-minded now, mm-hmm. you know, because I don't have the same hangups. You know, I thought people not gonna love me because I ain't got enough money. I ain't got the right clothes on because I ain't have enough money to buy the right designer outfits and stuff like that. And now I'm like, really? Okay, I could have one designer outfit. It ain't gonna make me more attractive than anything. You know, it doesn't matter whatever designer it is. But I found that I'm a little bit more loving. So when I talk to, you know, becoming more intimate with, you know, my better half, it's like now I'm not feeling ashamed or whatever I want. You know, I'm good at saying, look, dude, this, that, another, okay?
Right, we're getting
this, what ain't you working. Exactly. You know, this is the new me. I need this. You hear me?
Yeah.
You know, and so let me call Natasha because I need to ask her how we need to handle this part, because this is, you know.
Yep. I love that so much. So what do you have going on that people can maybe come to reach you? How can they get your goodness with money and loving themselves without that pressure of money?
Well, going back to what I knew worked for Racine, I'm starting my quarterly, hopefully, if not every 6 months, pamper parties.
Whoop whoop.
Yeah.
And
in fact, to bring the love and intimacy, I wanted to make sure we partner together. So next month, on the 26th of the love month of Valentine's, I'm doing our Womenpreneur, you know, love and money pamper party. And we're going to spend a whole day enjoying ourselves as women, you know, having other people look after us for a day, you know, feeding our minds and our spirits and our souls. You know, mm-hmm. we'll talk a little bit about money. We'll talk a little bit about intimacy, but the biggest part of that day, we're really going to just let you all relax, because when I used to do the pamper parties, I wanted to give them an environment where they didn't feel intimidated mm-hmm. to learn and understand about the concepts of money. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, women, we'll come together. Usually we'll bring our girlfriends with us whenever we're going somewhere.
Absolutely.
So if I can get you in an environment where I can get you to learn and love and be quiet and be still, mm-hmm. then you'll go back out into your community, into your family, more empowered, you know, and for. So we're doing that February 26th here in Atlanta at Iwi Fresh Oasis Day Spa, you know, and then definitely we can give the details to everybody so that they can come and spend the day with us there.
Absolutely. That is going to be in the show notes. I'm so excited for that. I'm so excited for you bringing that back. When you told me about that, I was like, well, why you don't do that anymore? That sounds amazing. So I'm excited for you to bring it back and to be a part of it. Because I feel like that's the ultimate self-love, not just, you know, going to the spa, but it's like, I'm asking you, I'm inviting you, I'm not asking you, I'm inviting you to spend 5 hours out of your day to focus on yourself. And I know that that's not easy, because it's like, there's so many other things that I could be doing, mm-hmm. but we're inviting you to just do you, like to just focus on you. So I love that concept. So that's going to be fun. What else do you have going on for those people that don't live in Atlanta and still want to do something with you or experience your education?
Gotcha. We're definitely doing, March is Women's History Month. Mm-hmm. So I do some virtual workshops, you know, especially on investing. So I'll be doing that. Usually like March 15th is usually when that happens. And then July, before the kids go back to school, I'll do a workshop for kids and money. So for those that have kids, you know, I'll do an interactive session with them, and it'll be virtual and live. We do a hybrid for that because kids are very visual, you know. So if your kids are between 7 to 12, and then 12 to 15 age groups, you know, I have separate, you know, programs for them or virtual workshops for them, because their interaction is different, you know.
And where can everyone reach you, stalk you, follow you, whatever you want
to do? Sure. Facebook business group is Riker Dream Team on Facebook. And then we have Instagram at Racine_Riker, and that's Racine, R-A-C-I-N-E, underscore Rikard, R-I-K-A-R-D. My email address is info@RacineRiker.com, and our website is RacineRiker.com. Okay.
I will have all
the contact, right? You know, I'm like,
I will have it all down for you. Don't worry. I appreciate you so much. This was good. I'm going to have you back for something. I'm sure we're going to come back for something.
Same here. I'm going to have you come to one of mine as well, for sure.
So thank you so, so much. I appreciate you, Racine.
Absolutely. Enjoy being here. Thanks a lot. Thanks a million.
Y'all, I had so much fun recording that episode. And I told you that when you start focusing on you, the money follows. Racine confirmed it. The more we focus on our self-love, the more we focus on ourselves, the more we put ourselves higher on the totem pole, the more money we attract. So just try it. All you got to do is try it. All of Racine's information is going to be in the show notes, including our Womenpreneur and More Pamper pop-up. So if you are in the Atlanta area, February 26th, come hang out with us at Iwi Fresh from 2 to 7 and get your relaxation and rejuvenation on. Come on, we deserve it, y'all. We deserve it. If you enjoyed this episode and are loving the focus on self-love and you cannot join us in Atlanta, then join me for the 28-day Love Thyself Challenge. Each day, you're going to get one small task that is going to help you get that much closer to falling in love with the you that you see every single day. So that is in the show notes. I love this episode, and I love the rest of the episodes coming. Thank you so much for joining me. I really hope you enjoyed this, and have a wonderful day, and go love on yourself some, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.